Psalms chapter 116 this morning, if you would. The Bible says in verse number 1 of Psalms 116, the Bible says, I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call unto Him as long as I live. Sorrows of death compassed me, the pains of hell get hold on me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteousness. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with me, or with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all of His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Psalms 116, that is verse 1 through 19. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the blessings, Lord, You've given us today. Thank You for the beautiful sunshine. Father, thank You for the Lord, just a great day to be in Your house. Thank You for the privilege, Lord, to be in Your house. Thank You for the privilege to call upon You in prayer. Thank You for the good songs, Lord, we were able to sing this morning. Father, the fact that we are saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ through grace through faith. And Father, we thank You for that. Lord, this morning, I pray, Lord, You illuminate my mind. Guard these lips of clay. Help me, Father, to say that's well-pleasing in Your sight. I pray, God, that it's all done today. Father, be uplifting to Thy name, glorifying Thy name, Father. And that the Word of God, as it goes forth, will accomplish Your will. We'll thank You, Father, and praise You for what's done and what's accomplished. In Jesus' living name, we do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. As I read this psalm, there's many things that jumped off the page at me. And the Lord was just loading my wagon, if you will, as I was reading this psalm. And I want to call your attention to one verse to start with. And I want to deal with that for just a few minutes. In verse number 3. The Bible there says that the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I couldn't get away from that verse as it talks about the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell get hold of me. I was thinking about several passages in the Bible that talks about this place called hell. And I know in our day it's not popular to preach on a place that's called hell. But I do know my Bible teaches me it's a literal place. It is a place that where those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ and those who do not accept His free offer of salvation would find themselves eternally burning in a lake of fire, and it is a place that is called hell. Hell is a place of punishment and imprisonment for those who rebel against God, reject His offer of salvation. But hell was not created for man. Hell was created for Satan and the rebellious angels. That's what hell was created for. But whenever they rebelled, everyone else who rebels will find themselves in this place called hell. You can find that reference verse in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41, that says that hell was not created except for Satan and his angels. But then you also find there that unsaved men will go to this terrible place called hell. Matthew chapter 25, let me flip over there real quickly. I'll just read it to you in your hearing. Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 41. The Bible says, Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. There's the verse of Scripture that teaches us that hell was not created for man. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Verse number 42, "For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, we saw... When saw we thee hungered and or athirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these," watch this, verse 46, "and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life." So we find in Matthew that this is a place where people go that reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is an everlasting punishment. Amen? It's not a heyday, it's not a pleasure ride, it's not a party time. It is a literal place of everlasting punishment. We find many verses of Scripture that backs it up. Let me give you a brief description of what the Bible says that hell is. I'm going to give you reference verses, and you can jot those down. This is being recorded, so you can listen to it later if you need to. But I'm going to give you the reference verses, and there's so many of them, I'm not going to read all the verses. All right? Here we go. What is the Bible's description of this place called hell? Number one is according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 16 and verse 23, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10, it is a place of torment. It is not a place of paradise. It is not a place of pleasure, but the Bible said it is a place of torment. Number two, it's a place of consciousness and feeling, according to Luke chapter 16 and verse number 23. There the rich man lifted up his eyes, and the Bible says, being in torments. Amen. He was conscious. He was feeling those tormented flames. There's also, the Bible gives a description of hell in Luke chapter 16 and verse 24 as a place of fire, where the fire dieth not. Amen. It never goes out. It's an everlasting fire. Matthew chapter 13, verse 42 and verse 50. Mark chapter 9, verse 44 through 48. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. Amen. You'll find that the Bible says it is a place of fire. It is a place of no comfort, no help, or no mercy. Luke chapter 16. You'll find the rich man begging for mercy, begging for comfort. Just dip the tip of the finger in the water. Just let a drop of water fall on my parched tongue, was his plea, was his cry. And we find there's no comfort, there's no help, and there's no mercy in this place called hell, according to the Bible. It is a place of unfulfilled desires. It is a place of unanswered prayer. Again, in Luke chapter number 16, verse 27 through 31. We know that the rich man asked that somebody go tell, I've got five brothers, somebody go tell of an awful place that they not find themselves here in such an awful tormented place. It was an unanswered prayer because nobody went. Amen. Those prayers were not heard. It is a place of unfulfilled desires and unanswered prayers. What an awful, awful place it is. The Bible says of hell, it is a place of isolation. Luke chapter 16 again. It is a place without any hope of escape. Luke chapter 16 again. It's a place of remembrance and regret. Luke chapter 16 verse 27 and 28. Let me say this: a place of torment, a place of no hope of escape, a place of unanswered prayers and unfulfilled desires. Those that find themselves in such an awful place will have the remembrance. Amen. Listen, they remember, the rich man remembered he had five brothers that also was lost. And you'll remember every time that somebody gave you the gospel. You'll remember every time that somebody invited you to church. Hey, wouldn't it be an awful thing to be in a place called hell, burning for all eternity, and seeing that neighbor that came and gave you an invitation to the house of God, and you shunned it, and you walked away from it, said, I want no part of that, I'll have no part of your God, and in hell for all of eternity, remembering such an act in your life. Oh, that'd be an awful thing. Been a lot of regret there, amen, but there's nothing you can do with that regret. Hell, the description of hell according to Matthew chapter 25, is a place of punishment. It's a place of wailing and gnashing of teeth, Matthew chapter 25. Mark chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 66 tells us that hell is a place of worms, for the worm dieth not. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the Bible says that the hell is a place of banishment. Some people make the comment they're going to go to this place called hell and they're going to party with their friends. My friends, you won't know your friends in hell. It's a place of banishment. It's a place of desertion. It's a place where you're there by yourself. Nobody hears you. Nobody knows you're there. Amen. Nobody can hear your cry. Nobody can hear your plea. You're banished from all humanity. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, Jude 13, the Bible says it's a place of darkness. There is no light. It's a place of darkness. Some people think that whenever someone dies and goes to hell, that they're annihilated. That it's over with and they burn in the fire and it's over with. My friend, the Bible does not teach that. Hell is not annihilation. Hell is everlasting punishment. Hey, listen, the psalmist said that hell get hold on me. It was a holding on to me. It had its clutches at me. The wicked are not annihilated in hell. Here's some Bible verses to help you with that. The Bible plainly says in the Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, Mark chapter 9, verse 43, Revelation chapter 14, verse 10 and 11, Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. I think that's enough Bible to back up what I'm saying. Amen. That hell is not a place of annihilation, but is a place of eternal punishment. Suffering forever and forever and forever and forever. The Bible says the punishment of the unsaved will be worse than a violent death. The worst death that you can imagine on this earth. That's nothing compared to what hell is. The punishment in hell is worse than the greatest violent death on this earth. This proves that the punishment is eternal torment rather than annihilation. If someone dies and goes to hell and they was annihilated, they wouldn't be a whole lot of worry. Amen. They'd just be dead and it'd be over with. But that's not the teachings of the Word of God. It's eternally tormented, eternally suffering and isolated, no hope. And listen, there's punishment, there's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth, there's darkness, there's worms, there's the place. Thank God I don't have to go there. Jesus said it'd be better if Judas, in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 24, Jesus said it'd been better had Judas had not been born. Why is that? Because it was a place of eternal punishment. Christ preached much about hell. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find many passages that Christ preached on hell. The Lord preached so much about hell because He loves men and don't want men to go there. No sinner has to go to hell. John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomsoever, everybody in the sound of my voice is a whomsoever, that whomsoever shall believe on Him, shall not shalt not die, but have everlasting life. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. No sinner, red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in His sight. No sinner has to die and go to hell. The Lord's not willing that any do that. God gave His only Son that men would not have to do that. Nobody has to die and go to hell. My soul, there's many scriptures to back that up. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 6. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9. The end of hell, after the great white throne judgment, hell and all the unsaved will be cast into a lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. The psalmist said of hell, he said in verse number 3, the sorrows of death compass me. They're surrounding me. My friend, we're compassed with death every single day. You and I are getting older. Amen. Some of us are getting uglier. Amen. Hey, listen, don't nobody say amen right there. Amen. We're getting older. Amen. And hell and death, or death is compassed around us. And listen, it's coming soon. We're going to die. The Bible says in Hebrews that it's appointed unto man once to die. Amen. And death has compassed us. But listen, we're not getting any younger. We're
we're getting older. Our health is not getting any better. It's getting worse. Amen. And death has compassed us. And that's where the psalmist was at. But then he says that the pains of hell get hold of me. I couldn't get away from that thought of those pains of hell. I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved this morning by the good grace of God. I'm glad I don't have to worry about those pains of hell. I'm glad, thank God, it's been washed by the blood. Amen. My sins have been forgiven. They've been eternally erased. And I don't have to worry about those pains of hell. I can rejoice this morning. I can shout the victory this morning. My friend, but what about the lost man? Listen, death has compassed him. It's surrounding him. And any day now he can go out into eternity. Which one of those might go out today? I have no idea. But the pains of hell's got a hold of him. And somebody's got to take the gospel to him. I'm worried and concerned and bothered by those that just reject the word of the Lord. The psalmist said in Psalms 18, verse number 5, the Bible there says, "The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." That word snare there means a trap. And listen, there's a lot of things got people trapped in our day. Amen? The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels, right? Amen? We read that. And the Bible teaches us that death has some snares that prevents people. What does that even mean? That means that they're listening to the opposing power. The devil doesn't want anybody to go to heaven. The devil doesn't want anybody to be saved. The devil doesn't want anybody to serve God. So therefore, he'll give them the traps, the snares of death. What could that snare be, preacher? Well, that snare can be that somebody has fooled you or you're fooling yourself thinking that you've got plenty of time. Death has trapped you to thinking, hey, you're young, don't you worry about it, you've got plenty of time. Even whenever people get up in years and they get older, they think, well, maybe I can do that tomorrow. Maybe I'll do it next Sunday. Maybe I'll go to church next week. Hey, listen, death has snared you and it's trapped you into thinking that you have plenty of time. The Bible says, the book of James says that life is like a vapor. It's only here for a little while and it vanishes away. Nobody knows when the Son of Man cometh. Amen. Nobody knows when Jesus Christ is coming. And no man knows the day nor the hour when they're going to die. Even on the hospital bed, when people are laying on the hospital bed and they're near death, the doctors say, well, it could be 2 days, it could be 2 months. Nobody knows. Death has a way of snaring and trapping people into thinking that they've got time. My friend, there's no Bible to back that up. Amen? Your time, my time could end right now. In the next 2 minutes, all of us could be snatched out of here. Amen? Called home to glory. Hallelujah. Listen, we don't know the day nor the hour. And time is such a short time. And the Bible talks about it in the book of Romans, and I preached on this last week. The Bible talks in the book of Romans, it's high time we wake up. Amen. It's high time we get stirred up for God. Get a new burden, get a new vision of this place called hell and how serious it is and how damnable it is and how many souls that we know and people that we meet have rejected the Lord and they're on their way to this place called hell. Sorrows of hell compassed me about, and the snares of death prevented me. About me the cords of hell were wound, and the snares of death my footsteps bound. Thus hopeless was the case of this good man, as hopeless as a case could be, so utterly desperate that none but an almighty arm could be of any service. According to the four metaphors which we read this one was bound like a criminal for execution, overwhelmed like a shipwrecked mariner, surrounded and staying at bay like a hunted stag, and captured in a net like a trembling bird. What more of terror, what more of distress could meet upon one poor defenseless head? To be surrounded by death and hell with no hope. My friend, I'm glad there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm glad there's one, thank God, that paid the price. That you and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. That no man have to die and go to hell. Amen. There's hope, hallelujah, in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read this, we find in verse
Psalms 18 verse 5, we find the condition of a soul that is convicted of their sin. They find there that their soul is, hell is compassed and the snares of death has prevented me. Then we find the second clause there, the snares of death have prevented me. The way which snares and temptations are, they are satanic. They are the satanic craft and they are arranged to prevent us from doing what is well pleasing unto the Lord. Psalms 116 verse 3. Again, the sorrows of hell or sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold of me. The psalmist said, I found trouble. I found sorrow. The psalmist now goes on to describe his condition at the time when he prayed unto God. Listen to him. He says, the sorrows of death, they compass me. As a hunter surrounded a deer with dogs and men so that they have no way of escape, so was David enclosed in the ring of deadly grief. The bands of sorrows, the bands of weakness and terror were all around him. These things around him were not in a distant circle. They wasn't far away from him, but they had got a hold on him. They was close to home. Amen. Does that make sense to you? He says the pains of hell get hold of me. Horrors such as those which torment the lost seized me. They grasped me. They found me out. And those horrors searched me through and through and held me as a prisoner. He means by the pains of hell, those extreme pains and anguish, agony of the body which belong to death, those terrors which relate to the grave, those were so closely upon him that they fixed their teeth in him as hounds that seized their prey. He was in dire straits. He was a man desperate. He says, I found trouble and sorrow. Trouble was around me. Sorrow was within me. His griefs were doubled. And as he searched into them, they increased. A man rejoices when he finds a hid treasure. But what must be the anguish and the pain of a man who searches and searches and searches and finds nothing except what he least expected and a vein of more trouble and of more sorrow. And that's where the psalmist was at. Trouble found him. And when he himself began to seek, he found no relief, but double distress. You know what that means when David said that he couldn't find any relief and the sorrows, he found trouble and sorrows? That means he was looking for something. I'm telling you, there's people in our day that are looking for something. They're turning to the drugs, they're turning to the alcohol, they're turning to everything they can turn to, they're turning to false religions, they're turning to false doctrines, to all these cults. They're trying to find something that will relieve the pains of hell that's gotten a hold on them. David said he found trouble and sorrow. The more I dug, the more I looked, the worse it got. You know why that is? Because he's looking all the wrong places. John chapter 3 verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And I'm telling this, people all around us that are looking for something, their deeds are evil. They don't want to give up their wickedness. They don't want to give up the things that they're doing. But yet they don't want to keep living the life that they're living. They've got to get down to the place where they realize that death's got a hold on them. And hell, the snares of hell, the pains of hell is going to get a hold of them. And they're going to find themselves in the devil's hell if they don't repent of their wicked ways. Lord preserveth the simple. Notice with me verse number 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and He helped me. Spurgeon wrote this. Spurgeon said, to those who have great deal of wit may take care of themselves. Those who have no worldly craft and subtlety and guile, but simply trust in God and do the right, may depend upon it that God's care shall be over them. The worldly wise with all their prudence shall be taken in their own craftiness. But those who walk in their integrity with single-minded trustfulness before God shall be protected against the wiles of their enemies. and enabled to outlive their foes. Hallelujah. Though the saints are like sheep in the midst of wolves and comparatively defenseless, yet there are more sheep in the world than there are wolves. And it is highly probable that the sheep will feed in safety when not a single wolf is left upon the face of the earth. So even the meek shall inherit the earth when the wicked shall be no more. Isaiah chapter 5 said in verse 14, therefore health hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoices shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought low, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after this manner. David said, I was brought low, and he helped me. Amen. I was brought low, and he helped me. I humbled myself, and I got some help. Amen. Those that's lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ just need to simply humble themselves before the Lord, and they'll find some help. Don't have to be a great theologian. Don't have to understand everything about the Bible. Only thing you got to understand, friend, is you're lost on your way to a devil's hell. And humble yourselves before God, and I guarantee, based on the Word of God, He'll help you to find your way to the cross. Amen. He'll lead you in the right path. Verse number 8, the Bible says here in verse number 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. Amen. I want to back up real quick to verse number 1. I was reading this passage of the Scripture, and I could not get away from verse 1. I wanted to preach verse 1. God didn't give me the green light to do it, but He said I could do it now. So I'm going to try not to preach very long on verse number 1. David's penning these words, and he says, I love the Lord. We ought to take a time out and shout a while right there, because we ought to love the Lord. Amen. Preacher, why you get so wrapped up and so excited about the Lord? Honey, you don't know where He brought me from. Amen. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know the prayers I've had answered. Amen. David said the reason why he loved the Lord. He gives us that reason in verse number 1. He says, because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. I like to do word studies. Y'all know that, right? That last word in verse number 1 says supplications. There's a S on the end of that. That's plural. David said time and time and time again, I'd have problems and troubles and sorrows about my life. And I went unto the Lord and He heard my voice. He heard every supplication. He heard every prayer. He heard every need. And He answered my prayer. That's the reason why David said, I love the Lord. That's the reason why you and I this morning ought to be rejoicing and say, I love the Lord. He's heard my cry. He's heard my prayer. I'm not talking about just a prayer for salvation. I'm talking about the prayer for sanctification, the one that sustains me day by day. He's heard my prayer. David knew why he loved the Lord. Why do you love the Lord? Because He hears my prayer. I've been praying earnestly for a situation that I'm not going to say nothing to you right now, but I've been praying earnestly. God, I need an answer. I need direction. Just this weekend, whoop, God has sent an answer. And if I lose my composure, just go with me. God has sent an answer. Why do I love Him? Because I know He hears me. Well, that's because you're a pastor. And that's because you're head of the church that God hears you. Friend, don't be fooled by that. David didn't pastor a church. David was just a layman. David was just a servant. And that's all I am. That's all any man is. He's a servant of the Lord. But I love Him because I know He's listening. How do I know He's listening? Because He answers. Talk to your children, you know they're listening when they answer you. Whenever you're talking to them, they don't answer you, you know they're not listening. And you want to walk over there and slap them and say, would you listen to me? I'm trying to tell you something. I don't have to do the Lord's like that. I know He's listening. David said he heard my voice. You know how many people's in the world? You know how many billions of people is in this world? And yet God hears your voice.
He distinguishes of all the languages, of all the dialects, He distinguishes your voice.
David said, I love the Lord. You know, they say that love is blind. And I disagree with that. I don't believe that love is blind. Someone wrote this. They say that love is blind, but when we love God, our affection has its eyes open and can sustain itself with the most rigid logic. What does that mean? We have reason. We have superabundant reason to love the Lord. Love's not blind. God hears and God answers prayer. He that knoweth all things, He that seeth all things, He that created all things, that Jehovah Almighty God that loves me, hears my prayer, hears my cry. Who am I that He would hear me? David said, I was brought low, humbled myself, because I'm nobody. If I don't get a hold of the reality that hell is real, I'm going to end up in eternity. Eternal punishment because I think I'm somebody that can make it on my own merit. For thou, David said of the Lord, thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. The triune God has given a triune deliverance. Here it is. Number one is our life has been spared from the grave. O grave, where's thy victory? O death, where's thy sting? Amen. You might lay me down in the grave, but honey, I promise you I ain't going to stay there. The grave has no hold on me. He's delivered us. We've been spared from the grave. Our hearts have been uplifted from its griefs. Hell no longer has a hold on me. The pains of hell, the sorrows of hell, that no longer bothers me. I've been relieved from my griefs of hell. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid to die. Amen. I'm not scared to death. Preach, why did somebody put a gun to your head? Well, you know, I really don't care to have my brains splattered all over the pulpit, but if that's the way God sees fit to take me out of here, then I'm ready to go. There's no grief. There's no sorrow. I've got it settled. Whenever the Lord saved me and heard my voice and heard my prayer, He delivered me from the griefs of hell and of death. Triune God has given a trinity of deliverance. He has spared us from the grave. Our heart's been lifted from its grief. And our course in life has been preserved from dishonor. The Lord is not pleased when an individual rejects Him and finds themselves in the devil's hell. He's not willing that any should perish. And so whenever we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and He hears our prayer, notice what David said in verse number 10. David said, I believed, therefore have I spoken, I was greatly afflicted. I believed. That's what it takes, amen. That's all it takes. Preacher, how can I be saved? Just believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thou and thy house. Amen. What sorrows, what does that mean? That means that you have godly sorrow, that you're a sinner and have rejected the Lord all these years. You repent of that. Repent of being a sinner. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to be your Savior. Amen. Lord of your life, Savior of your soul. And your course in this life will be preserved from dishonor. We ought not to be satisfied unless we're conscious of all three of these deliverances. I've been set free. And the Scripture says, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. As I read of these verses about this place called hell, it breaks my heart. It burdens my soul that so many are on the road to hell. I rejoice in the fact that I'm not headed there. I rejoice in the fact that I have loved ones that's not headed there. I rejoice in the fact that I have loved ones that's already over on the other side, waiting on us to get there. Amen. They didn't die and go to a devil's hell. But it burdens my soul that there's so many around us that's rejected the church in these days. They've turned away from the house of God. They've found every excuse under the sun not to be faithful to the Lord, to reject His Word, to reject His house, to reject His prayers. Listen, that's being heard. Hey, listen, they say that He's hearing them and He's walking with them, but they're being deceived because the gates of hell has prevailed against them. It burdens my heart. The Bible says the gates of hell, Jesus said the gates of hell not prevail against His house, against His church. But my friend, when you walk away from His church, when you reject His Word, you reject everything that God has sent you, you're on your way to a downward spiral. Amen. I'm afraid in our day there's many that's going to die and go to hell. Anyone that's listening by the sound, listening to the sound of my voice by social media or whatever outlets you may hear this message, I plead with you today. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put off tomorrow what you can accomplish today. You're not guaranteed another breath. You and I this morning are not guaranteed another opportunity to witness to that lost individual. Now don't get conceited. Don't get all self-righteous and think, well, I can do that tomorrow. I have more time to do that tomorrow. My friend, we may have tomorrow. And tomorrow may come for us, but it may not come for them. How sad that'd be for us to go through this life and think, I had an opportunity and I threw it away. I throwed it away. I don't want to see anybody die and go to hell. Amen? That's why this life is very important for us as believers to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. To be that light unto a lost and dying world. To be an example. To be the salt of the earth. That we have the answer for every man that's lost. That there is a place called hell and we can describe it. We can give chapter and verse. We can help them to see this is a reality. God help us to be that witness we ought to be. God help us to be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to our prayer time and our Bible reading. God give me courage. God give me boldness. God give me words to say. And David said, I love Him because He heard my voice. He heard my supplications. And He gave me the words to say. And David said, I believed what He said. You believe Him this morning? Amen. I believe He's still in the soul-saving business. Amen. I believe He's coming soon. I want to be everything I can be before He gets here. Amen. I want to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. I want the church to be faithful. We can see souls saved and lives changed. Not that we can brag about ourselves and brag about the number. We can brag on the Lord. I love the Lord. The church can gather together and say, we love the Lord. Why does that church love the Lord? Because He's heard and answered our prayers. And look at the souls that's not going to die and go to hell. Well, what a day, what a day. Amen. Rejoice with our Lord. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege You've given us this morning to, Lord, be